You're listening to the I Teach Podcast, the show that brings you topics like personalized learning, instructional coaching, and the makeup movement. I'm your host, Ronald Catlin, and today I do have some updates before we get into today's episode. The first one is that KSU I Teach is excited to support all educators this summer with our I Teach Professional Learning Road Trip. This PD opportunity provides self-paced playlists to support best practices along four different learning paths. So registration for that opens June 1st. And for more information, go to iteach.kennesaw.edu or any of our social media page for updates. So in today's episode, we've reached the end of another fiscal school year. So the best thing to do when things come to an end is to reflect. So on this week's episode, I have my fellow KSU iTeach coach and social media manager for iTeach, Kristen Klinger, joining me, and we are going to be talking about the do's and don'ts of being an EdTech coach. And this is an interesting topic to talk about because with the coronavirus and COVID-19 pandemic closing schools across the country, districts are scrambling for ways to teach children who might be home until the end of summer. Moving instruction online and preparing teachers to use technology in their teaching was a massive undertaking. And it was even found that multiple surveys reported that many teachers in the United States did not have enough experience, resources, or training to use technology in the most effective ways, especially in low-income schools. So with all of this going on, EdTech coaches became great assets to schools and teachers across the world in assisting with remote learning. So this is a great episode for current EdTech coaches to refresh their coaching practices and even new educators that are entering the profession to use in their teaching toolkit. So I'm very excited to welcome our special guest for today's episode, Kristen Klinger. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ronald?
I am great. It's a great Wednesday. It's kind of cold outside, though, but I'm inside, so I can't complain.
You're right. It's looking like it's going to rain over here by me, too. So.
Yeah. And I was like, why is it cold in May?
I know. Crazy weather.
This is different. So how's the quarantine life? Are you adjusting?
I'm adjusting pretty well. It's been okay. trying to find ways to keep myself busy. I'll find new shows to watch, obviously listen to the podcast, books to read, trying to keep myself busy in different ways.
Yeah.
I don't get too bored.
So hopefully today I'll get to actually watch Frozen and Frozen 2.
Yes, I told you have to watch Frozen.
Let it go.
Yes.
So at the beginning of my episodes, everybody knows that I like to have fun. So I usually like to start off with an icebreaker. So I have some questions for you. Just so the viewers can get to know you. So the first one is, would you rather live in a penthouse in a big city or in a bungalow on the beach?
Bungalow on the beach.
Okay, so you like the ocean and nice weather and...
Oh, yes. I could sit outside with a drink in my hand every day on that beach and be so happy.
Don't have to worry about traffic, no subways or anything.
Well, and everybody would come visit me because I'm on the beach.
And nothing like a good vacation than a trip to the beach.
Right.
Okay, so next question is, have you ever met your idol or someone you admire greatly?
Oh. I've definitely met people I admire, but I wouldn't say I've ever met my idol.
So who is your idol, if you don't mind?
Oh, goodness.
Or somebody that you was like, oh my God, this would be amazing to like see this person, even if it's like walking on the street.
Well, okay, you're going to laugh at me, and I'm going to sound like a middle school girl, but I love Taylor Swift a lot, so I would probably die if I met her. I know that makes me sound like I'm about 12 years old, but I love her a lot. But I definitely bet a lot of people I admire, like, especially in working, like a lot of the KSU I teach coaches that we work with, like I've grown to admire them because when you learn a lot about them and learn from them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people that can help me grow are people that I admire. But my, 12-year-old idol would be Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, if you're listening, I'm going to tag her and see if she, you know, sees this.
Because I have been to like four of her concerts. I mean, I kid you not. I actually had tickets because in Atlanta at Centennial Olympic Park, she was going to do a free performance. Mm-hmm. But I had free tickets to her performance, but coronavirus, the pandemic. Yes. So that was very disappointing.
Yeah.
Could not go to that concert.
That's good to know.
I'm okay. I've seen her elsewhere, so I'm okay.
And the last question is, what is your absolute dream job?
My absolute dream job. I think I'm living it. I love being an iTeach coach for sure. Mm. But I also think being able to be in a school system, like, or in a school, I know Stephanie, our director, has talked about this before, just like the ideal school where we can bring personalized learning and technology and kind of have the freedom to act out what we teach as coaches. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like the ability, the freedom within the curriculum and unlimited budget, which I know every school would love, yeah. But just to give every child what they need in that personalized learning setting would be awesome.
Yeah.
Cause you know, ultimately I'm a teacher at heart. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't mind doing that.
Okay. Okay. So that was good. So we got to know and learn a lot about you just now with those icebreaker questions. So now we're going to move on and talk about the do's and don'ts of being an ed tech coach. So what do you think is your first, we're going to do like do and then don't. So what do you think is your first do that an ed tech coach should be doing?
So the first thing I try to do when I walk into any school classroom, you have to establish meaningful relationships. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, you really can't get anywhere with anybody unless you have a relationship with them,
right.
In my opinion. So I have some ways you can do that face-to-face and remote, just because we don't know what the next school year will be. Mm-hmm. But I do think just showing those teachers that you're a real person, kind of like you like to do at the beginning of the podcast, breaking down those barriers, mm-hmm. and showing them that you're not really necessarily there to judge them. You're there to help them and pick them up as an ed tech coach. Mm-hmm. So in face-to-face, I always, during pre-planning, I try to walk around and see all the teachers face-to-face. I've been at the same school now for about 3 years. So many of the teachers know me, but there's also new teachers every year. Mm-hmm. So I try to go into their classrooms and I ask them how their summers were, if I knew them, ask them personal questions like that. And then if it's a new teacher, I'll introduce myself, tell them what I do, and just try to begin that relationship. Mm-hmm. I also, like, during the week after the school year has started, I just try to go on walks. Sometimes as ed tech coach, you might have 30 minutes or sometimes, unfortunately, a couple hours, depending on what's happening at the school that day, mm-hmm. with testing or something. Mm-hmm. So I try to walk around the building at different times throughout the week, just so I can see different faces. Kids can get used to seeing me. I'll see teachers on their planning, mm-hmm. You know, and then I always give, probably once a month, I give like little notes with small little gifts. So it might be something as small as like, we're going to have like a noteworthy school year at the beginning of the year and give them some sticky notes or, you know, a piece of candy, but just letting teachers know, like, hey, I'm here. This is what I can do for you. And you guys are already doing a great job. Mm-hmm. So, and then the last thing I do with face-to-face to help establish those relationships is anytime I go into the room, whether it's for a formal observation or just because I'm walking around and popped in to see what was going on, I always leave a note when I leave, or if I don't have anything with me to write with, I'll send them an email and let them know the things that I liked that they did. I don't want to walk into their room and, I've had teachers look at me and be like, oh, sorry, we're just working in this platform today. And I'm like, I'm not here to judge.
Yeah.
You. I like the things going on in your classroom. Mm-hmm. So that helps to establish relationships beyond just, I'm a coach. I'm here to, you know, this is what my job is. It's more of a personal thing.
Yeah.
And then of course, remote learning. Now, if you know how it's been the past couple months and we don't know what August will look like, Bitmoji and virtual classrooms are a huge like hit trend right now. Mm-hmm. So
I'm starting to see that
them as a coach. Yeah. So, I've been creating them as a coach and I actually have a summer one that I'm going to send out with different things they can do throughout the summer to relax and unwind and stuff like that. So, creating a Bitmoji or virtual classroom where teachers can click around and kind of get to know you
because they can't see you, while also offering some of your resources within your classroom is cool. I love Flipgrid. That is one of my favorite platforms. So, creating a Flipgrid topic for teachers to respond to, where they can share personal goals for the year, they can share ideas, or just even relax and share like TV shows they watch, or just some type of way to establish kind of an asynchronous conversation. And then, just hosting casual meetings in Zoom, Teams, Google, whatever platform your school has, just being informal and being there and letting teachers come and go to talk to you, ask questions, and just kind of serving as that virtual meeting space would be how I would try to establish relationships in August if we cannot be back in the school building.
Right, right. And those are good points about establishing meaningful relationships. I know some of the things that I used to do for establishing like relationship and relationship building was I would like allow them a choice PD for like a work session for a day where teachers would work with educators. And then even if like, their time is busy and I can't see the teachers face to face, I would send out like weekly ed tech tip emails. And that would, they would really appreciate that. And sometimes I would just have it to align with their standards or things that they're teaching so it can be more relevant to them.
Right.
So they really appreciate that. And that would like, they would really appreciate and just send like a thank you email or even invite me to their classroom or different things just to have a chat with them about the tool. So that was another good thing.
Yeah. I love that idea.
Yeah. And then I was also like something else would just, like have a sitting day in the library where, people can stop in for support and ideas. That would be something that I would do, like just sit in the teacher's lounge. And just have a little just chat, just something really informal.
Yeah, because if you think about it too, like what do teachers do at the beginning of the year with their students? They try to get to know them, and even anytime you start a new job or pre-planning, a lot of times we have team building activities for pre-plan, so the same thing kind of applies as coaching. You just want to make yourself available like you're talking about and make yourself be a person of relationship point, not, I only can come to them to talk about this specific tool.
A manager or something. You don't want to be too bossy. Yeah. But my first do was, you do want to align with the school's mission. And I think that's important because sometimes, as coaches, we may find that, some principals will consider our role as just like a plug and play kind of thing, or, just a one-stop, all-encompassing, technology enabler. But I think it's very important for coaches to know that at the beginning to, schedule a meeting with the principal or whoever your personal contact is at the school and just making sure that you are a part of the development and the communication of the school's missions and beliefs. And, just ensuring that technology is integrated into the teaching culture, rather than just an add-on. So, So in return as a coach, just understanding your roles and the goals for which you are accountable, helps you sharpen the focus of your work.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It helps you find ways to plug in if you know the specific vision and purpose behind the use of technology for that principle, whether it be student voice or flexible pacing or something like that. It's important to know the direction the school wants to take.
Right. So you're just getting that current reality. So our first do is establishing relationships and aligning with the school's mission. What is your first don't? What do you think is something that
takes? So again, it kind of goes with that relationship. I don't think you need to go into the classroom and put yourself out there. Like, I'm a requirement. You have to work with me and like force yourself upon these teachers as we have to meet once a month on Wednesday. I feel that kind of immediately puts a teacher wall up because it's another thing they have to do. It's not something necessarily that they feel like they have control over. So even if you are required by your principal or within the school's mission to meet with teachers once a month, I don't think you need to go into the classroom or into teachers and say, hey, I'm a requirement. I'm going to be doing these observations this many times a year, and just make yourself seem like this intimidating person that's coming in to judge these teachers, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think also something that ed tech coaches shouldn't do is that we should not assume anything about a teacher's technology competency and skill levels.
Right.
Yeah, whether it be like due to like generational gaps or because I've even experienced teachers that are as young as me and some that are even older that, you know, you would think you would assume that you would think, oh, you're young, so you should know, you know, technology.
Right.
And then sometimes some people, you may be surprised that some people older, you may be like, oh, they may not know, but sometimes they are actually, you know, skilled themselves or may be keeping up with the times. So.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's very rare that you find teachers that are on the same page when it comes to technology integration. So so assuming that, you know, these factors, you know, that whether or not they'll be open to using technology, it can be, you know, very detrimental to technology coaching. So I think the challenge is just to, you know, don't make any assumptions and just understand that no two teachers are alike when it comes to using technology. So just don't assume how they look or how old they are or their teaching style that, you know, they may be savvy or not savvy using technology.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even like, maybe if they're not savvy and one specific tool doesn't necessarily mean that they wouldn't be open to, you know, like making assumptions about their willingness.
Yeah. Yep.
Interest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that is true. Cause you just know, you just can't assume cause you don't know what kind of students they may have or what, you know, what they may be thinking. So it's just best to just keep it all open and just, you know, give everybody a chance.
Right.
All right. So our next do on the list.
I say do start small. It kind of goes off what you're talking about in that you don't want to judge a teacher's knowledge. So I do think you need to kind of figure out where your early adopters are, those teachers that are great with technology and kind of versus those teachers that, you know, maybe not are that great with technology and start small in that teacher's scope. So that may mean, you know, you're starting small by, you know, implementing how to get students into PowerPoint or Google Slides or something like that might be something that you start with versus another start small might be, you know, flipping the classroom with screen recording or something like that. So you have to figure out where your teachers are, but I just don't think you need to go in with this grand picture and all these overwhelming, overarching things that teachers should do or could do within a tool or a platform or a device. And they should start small within the realm of that teacher's capability, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Just using that gradual release.
Right.
Know, just like you said, because, you know, you don't want to overwhelm them. But I think go ahead.
Well, just like, you know, you want to also think about the fact that they're teaching children. So you can't overwhelm the children either, the students. You don't want to give the students seven different things that they have to do to learn a technology tool while they're also trying to absorb content. So just starting small within the scope of the classroom and the abilities of the teachers really would be my second do for an ed tech coach.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the do that you always use no matter what. Like that's anytime you approach, just always start small and just build up. Because, you know, teacher buy-in is lacking for technology. So I think if you want to get a bigger punch, you know, you have to start small so they can just like appreciate the little small wins and just see the progress and growth. Because, you know, you are dealing with, if you're going into a classroom, you're dealing with, you know, 20 plus also skills and technology levels that you have to balance as well. So going in that with in a big grand picture that can not only overwhelm the teacher, but now you have 20 students who are also that, you know, also going to be, you know, a little bit overwhelmed. But my do, the next do on my list is to do mix it up. So I think as a tech coach, you know, the support as a school can differ, you know, weekly or even daily. So I just think trying different formats, such as like workshops, try individual coaching, maybe just in time where you are just maybe walking around and then a teacher, you know, just happens to see you and they're just like, oh, you know, I just had this you know, question or something about, you know, you can have a conversation about something with technology integration so that just in time, if that works, even doing something like dropping hours, mm-hmm. or even presentations during staff meetings or after school, or if, you know, you're not able to reach them face to face, even virtually, like developing a video library or a YouTube channel of videos and like, and how to's and tutorials of different stuff that you'll be able to reach them. So, just not, you know, just be flexible in your support and, you know, just not think that coaching is just more than, you know, one-to-one support.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So just mixing it up. That's what I think.
Yeah. I like that.
So what do you think about your, what is another thing that ed tech coaches should not do?
I don't think they should go into the classroom and tell a teacher that they have to use this tool today. You know, like I don't think, like I love Flipgrid. I'm not going to go into every classroom and tell every teacher you have to use Flipgrid, you know, at least twice. Going in and telling teachers you have to do this. I understand that there are going to be platforms that are selected by different schools or LMSs or stuff like that, yes, I mean, teachers will have to focus within those things. But I don't think that you need to overwhelm them by demanding that these tools and strategies be implemented by a certain time and in a certain way. I think it's more beneficial to see what they want, like what their overall like goal or vision for their classroom is, and then try to find ways that maybe the required tool or strategy can fit into that. Because I think if you go in and you say, you have to use this, you have to do this, again, it kind of puts up a wall. It's like, I don't know how, like when you're told you have to do something, then your mind is can't sometimes wrap around how you can make that happen if it wasn't your idea personally. So,
right.
I don't overwhelm and don't demand, kind of.
Yeah. Cause you don't want to be like, it become a compliance thing. And then it's, right. they don't see the, you know, the value of it, because it's just like, well, I was just told this, so this is why I'm doing it. So.
Right. And then you seem almost too, like you're going to report back like, oh, Ronald's not using this platform after I told, you know, like you just make yourself not seem approachable or like you're there to help, you know, you're just pushing an agenda that might not be the teacher's goal or plan. So I think finding ways to fit into their overall vision rather than overwhelming and forcing something is the better way to go.
I like that. Don't overwhelm or demand. I like that. All right. So I think that another don't that it took coaches to do is to don't lose your street cred. And what I mean by that is like, you know, I'm a coach, you know, and a teacher, like you said, you know, we're educators too. So it's like not either or. So I think it's important that, you know, you don't lose your street cred card. And that means that, you know, just staying connected to the work that classroom teachers do every day. Which is super important for, you know, us as educators, as well as your work for a coach, because, you know, as an ed tech coach, you know, things like the back end of our job, like as far as like, you know, turning different documents and the paperwork and all that kind of stuff on our plate, you know, it's easy to get caught up sitting at a desk behind our computer for longer than we may like. So I think it's just important that, you know, we just kind of remove ourselves while we're in the schools from the computer and, you know, just make it a point to keep our teaching skills sharp and in that street cred in place, you know, through modeling, co-teaching, or even, you know, jumping in the sub for a teacher. And I think like regular teaching, it keeps us engaged, you know, passionate and informed about the work that we do. So, And surprisingly, you know, far from being resistant, you know, to having us in the classroom, many teachers, you know, they'll welcome us in the class to co-teach a new tool, especially with technology. You know, if they learn something, they'll really be like, oh, yeah, come in. Well, it's a great time for you to come in and teach the kids about the tool, you know, and they'll really like to sit there and, you know, actually get to see that the tool in action, and they get to see like how their students respond to the tool and how they like it. So it improves the buy-in from the teacher that they actually see like, oh, this is something that they're responding well to. Like they're taking all of the things that they had in their mind, all of the fears and, you know, all of the, you know, clouded judgment that is like, my students may not be ready. But when they see, you know, the tech coach actually implementing, their kids are engaged and, you know, they're actually liking it. You know, they'd be like, oh, I really like this, so I'm going to just try this out. And then they're like, you know, prone to like try different things and change their outlook.
Right. Yeah. And I think like in addition, if you're like me, where I've been at one school for 3 years, like the kindergartners I started with are about to be third graders in this next school year. Like if I don't go in the classroom, I don't get to know these kids. And I, you know, again, we're teachers at heart. Like I enjoy the relationships with kids, and being able to keep my street cred and go into the classroom and co-teach and work with the teachers and students has helped me get to know the students as well. So that's always a fun aspect, I think, of being an ed tech coach.
Yeah. So I think that's important, because the teachers really, the teachers really don't know your teaching style or, you know, teaching capabilities. They know your position and your title. So I think just, you know, them seeing you and seeing us in that light.
As a teacher, yeah.
Yeah. Seeing us as a teacher, it's like, oh, so, you know, you do know some things about teachers, because he's like, I don't know, somehow. So I feel like sometimes it's a disconnect between like teacher and ed tech coach. It's like maybe it's something that's like, somehow I think when like people see ed tech or technology specialists, like the teacher pipeline doesn't like cross their mind. It's just like, oh, you just like technology, but you wasn't like a teacher or kind of like thing. So I think there's just something to keep in mind. But with the kindergartners at one of my schools, I never would go into a kindergarten classroom, because I was like, oh, this is so small.
And
I always was like third and up. So I was like, I need them to be able to talk and, you know, and be older. And, you know, like, because I was like used to older kids. And one year I was like, okay, this year I am going to focus on kindergarten, and I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get to know them. And then I was like going in there and I was like, they're so small. And I was like, so what can they do? What can they not do? You know, because I feel like it's just like the first year in school.
Right.
So the teacher was like, you know, they learn pretty fast, and, you know, they'll catch on, and, you know, they're pretty independent. And once I started to see that, I was like, oh my God. So I kind of like the baby. So when I would come to classroom, they're just ready to give hugs. They do give hugs a lot.
They do. But yes, they do. Well, and I'm like you, when I taught in middle school. So yes. So kindergarten, they scared me too. And people always laugh at that, but they did. They scared me. But just like going in and seeing, because they do. They catch on so quickly.
Yeah, they do.
And they're so eager about everything. Mm-hmm. It's so sweet. Yes.
Little tiny people, and they just do their voice. They do their group, like, call outs together.
Call and responses. They're cool. Yeah.
They're so sweet though, but now I have a newfound respect for kindergarten. I like them. All right, so what is the next do on the list? What is another do that we have?
For me, my last do is to act as a learning partner. And what I mean in that is that, you know, you are trying to ultimately help the teacher grow and develop their abilities with technology, or, you know, again, going with the school vision, different strategies that you're trying to implement as an ed tech coach. So you want to serve as a learning partner. You don't want to always be the, you know, deliverer of information. You don't want to just lecture them and walk away. You want to ask them what kind of goals they have, what would you like to improve upon, what tools do they want to use, and serve as a partner that they can grow with. So there's definitely been times where teachers have been like, I'm interested in, you know, when I first got into ed tech coaching, one teacher was really interested in gamification, and it wasn't something I had used a lot for, like, making the interactive gamified experience in the classroom. But I didn't stray away from it. I told her, hey, let's learn this together. So I think, you know, back to what you were saying about hosting lunch and learns, or, you know, inviting teachers to share their own expertise, you know, in the ways that they've used tools to excite and engage other teachers. And, you know, just really seeking to understand what the teacher is hoping to do for their classroom, what their ideal classroom looks like, and serving as a learning partner to make that happen, I think would be a big do for me.
Right. I like that, because you don't want to have the, like you said, the top down approach where you like, you know, I'm above you in the chain and I'm just telling you everything.
Right. I think growing and learning together and showing the teacher, you know, like, oh, I don't know that right now, but let me look into that with you, or let's try it together. Or one teacher actually introduced me to deck toys and was like, I just learned about this. Do you want to try it? And I was like, let's go. And I love deck toys. It's you know, it's an awesome learning platform. So there's so much out there. You know, you have to act as a learning partner and not pretend like you're the end all be all, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think my do is kind of piggybacking on yours, is mine is do continue to learn.
Yep.
And just like it kind of, you know, piggybacks on what you're saying as far as like learning from other teachers and being in a partnership. And mine is more so talking about, as far as like, if we want to help others, we must, you know, first help ourselves. So mm-hmm. that's just talking about like things as far as like creating goals and action plans that ensure we are just continuing to grow both our, you know, technological and, you know, coaching expertise. So when coaches, you know, continue to learn and just, you know, not say I'm a person that knows it all, you know, everybody around us benefits.
Yep.
And just some things that, you know, that ed tech coaches can do to continue to learn is just like staying connected, you know, using a PLN like Twitter. Mm-hmm. You know, all kind of things that you see on Twitter and different educators that are, you know, willingly sharing the kind of things that they are doing in their classroom. And it's just as easy as you connected with them that seen an idea, and just, you know, you can even reach out at that point and have a conversation with the educator about, you know, what they did or how, you know, how they implemented it, or, you know, something that you may have a challenge with. You know, you guys can work through that together. And now, you know, you have found a new educator friend.
Mm-hmm.
Another way to kind of like, you know, keep continuing to learn and polishing your skills is working on, you know, your micro credentials, you know, Google certification, Apple teacher. Just recently I did the Microsoft expert, trainer, credential, where we had to do the virtual sessions, because of COVID, of course, we couldn't do the face to face, but, yeah, so I was always like, oh, I know Google, but I really don't know Microsoft like that. So I was like, one day I'll just have to go and learn more about Microsoft. So I ended up doing the Microsoft trainer. So right. Just, you know, finding ways to just, you know, continue to grow and just know that you don't know it all, and learning, like you said, as a partner, learning from different people.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So what is your last don't?
My last don't goes so much like hand in hand with what you just said and with my last do. And that's, don't act like you have all the answers. Like you're saying, like, continue learning. I mean, look at how much things have changed from February to now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and all of these platforms are responding so quickly and rapidly to the pandemic with updates that you can't pretend like you know everything and that you have all the answers. I think just that goes with what your previous do was. Continue learning. Learn from teachers. Learn from PLNs. Learn from your own research with micro-credentials. Learn from mm-hmm. conferences. I mean,
yeah.
Just don't go in and act like you know everything, and don't go in and act like you have to know everything. If you don't know an answer, look at a teacher and be like, oh my gosh, let me look that up for you. Let me
right.
get back yep. to you. Don't
mm-hmm. I will get back to you.
Yes. Don't act like, oh, like, and fumble through an answer to be wrong
yeah.
or mm-hmm. not helpful. So
yeah.
I think just go in there again, like with an open mind. Don't act like you know everything. And I think that vulnerability a little bit too is appeasing to the teachers, and the fact that they're like, oh, I can learn with this person and be honest with them
mm-hmm.
because yeah. they're not gonna, you know, patronize me or act like they're better than I am, kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's a good thing about our position, is that, you know, we don't carry that pride that
right.
we have to know it all, because we know technology is changing every day, and things are, you know, always being produced and developed. So we know that we're not going to, you know, be the end all know all, but we know that we just have the capacity just to say, oh, I don't know about this, but I'm willing to do some research and, you know, find out what it is.
Right.
You know? So I think that's, you know, something that keeps us, you know, also lifted in this profession, that right. we just don't have to, you know, feel like we're perfect, you know?
Exactly.
So,
yep.
And that brings me to, my last don't, which is, you know, take your job seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously.
Right.
And it kind of ties in, you know, to what we were talking about, you know, so we're a coach and we are a leader, and we have, you know, important work to accomplish during our days, but it doesn't mean that we have to be so serious
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and button up about it. So, you know, for the most part, you know, I'm always smiling. I'm always laughing out loud and acting silly and
Right.
You know, you don't have to try to use really big words and act like you know everything, you know, right. because I don't. Yeah. So, you know,
yeah,
like
no, you said, you know, 100%.
So, you know, I'm not afraid to say I don't know. And, you know, and if we mess up, you know, I'm not afraid to say, you know, I definitely messed up.
Right.
So just, I think just, you know, taking the risk and working through, you know, the muck of moving towards classroom and school goals right alongside teachers is just what I try to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it. And you want to bring fun. I mean, the classroom should be a fun, inviting place. And if you go in
right.
there to bring, you know, support and help, you should be fun and inviting as well. So it makes it more fun for the teachers and relaxing for the teachers and students. So,
yeah. Yeah. Cause it's a lot going on.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope that these few bits of advice will either help you reflect on your own journey with coaching, or if you're just starting out, help you with getting started on the right foot. This has been the I Teach Podcast. I'm Ronald Catlin. I want to thank my guest, Kristen, for being on today's show. Did you enjoy yourself?
Yes, I did. It was so fun. You're so easy to talk to, too. to talk
thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I made it an enjoyable experience for you. For the listeners that may want to find out more information about you, could you tell them where to find you on Twitter?
Yes, my Twitter handle is at Kristen Stoll 6. So KRISTEN. STOLL 6. So they can find me on Twitter. And of course, follow KSU on Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. It's KSU iTeach. You want to make sure you follow the iTeach part of KSU. But I support all social media there too. So we always share out awesome ideas, tools, resources, all kinds of things that are created by our ed tech coaches.
Great, great, great. So remember to join us again next time for more educational talk. Thanks for listening, and until next time, peace and love.
The iTeach Podcast is brought to you by the Instructional Technology Coaches from iTeach at Kennesaw State University with the cooperation of the Instructional Technology Department and the Bagwell College of Education. You can reach out to us for more information, questions, or comments at our website, iteach.kennesaw.edu, or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at KSU iTeach.